Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Throughout history, there have been individuals who have not only prayed that prayer, but walked it out as a lifestyle day by day. Each of these people have a story about creating and maintaining a revival culture wherever the Holy Spirit leads. This podcast is about capturing those stories and telling them to the world. So whether you are driving down the road, cutting your grass, working out, or just relaxing on your couch, thank you for choosing to join us for our Revival Chats.
Well, welcome back. This is another episode of Revival Chats. I'm your host, Spencer Lloyd. And it is truly a pleasure that you would choose to take this time and go on a little journey with me and my friend. Before we get to who my friend is today, though, I want to say I hope you all enjoyed the special edition podcasts of the sermons that Aaron preached down at Fairhaven in November. I personally received a significant amount of good feedback about those. So that was encouraging. I'm glad that it was helpful, especially it was, you know, from people who were in the room and wanted to hear it again, and those who were not in the room at all and couldn't have been and listened and were encouraged. So that is the purpose. We are thankful for that. But today I'm back in the studio, and although every edition of Revival Chats is special, this is not a special edition. This is our first real episode of season two, and that's exciting. And what makes it more exciting is not that anybody was voting, but the stats of the website that I use told me that our guest today, who is a repeat, had the most listened to podcast of 2020. And so if you've been watching that, or if you have any good guesses, today we have Jana Dunn back again for round two of Revival Chats. Jana, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, world.
Hello, world. Jana did share, you were talking to me a couple days ago, and you said you weren't really sure how all this podcasting stuff worked, but somebody, a friend of yours, had contacted you who had listened to the episode that you were in.
And it
encouraged her.
Yes. We knew each other for a few months. We stay connected once a year. I don't know how it works. She lives in Ohio somewhere.
Well, I don't, you know, we have, I can look up and find statistics on where people listen and how, like I can even tell what kind of device people are listening on. There's no identifiable characteristics. I can't say, oh, I knew that this was you. But we have people listening legitimately all around the world. We have some people in Asia, somebody over in Europe, and then most of our listeners are here in the United States, but still pretty cool to do that. So anyway, we've got Jana back today. Now, Jana, I told you this before we started recording. I think this is kind of cool. I just wanted to get your feedback on record. One of our listeners contacted me after listening to your last one, and he was reviewing how you had shared that the Lord spoke to you, these landmark moments in your life at ages 3, 5, and 7. And he said when he heard that, immediately his mind went to the third book of the New Testament, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse. Now, he didn't have it memorized, so he had to look it up. And this is what it is. I'll read it to you. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And he was sharing with me, he said, in light of what you shared, that you, the calling on your life is, which is to pray for the whole world, he heard you in this verse calling for all of your friends to come help join in your assignment to pray for the whole world. What do you think about that?
I love that. I mean, I really love that. One of the things that my husband said before he died, I read it this morning, is don't look at the task, look at the mission. He said it this way, don't hear the task, hear the mission.
That's good.
And whether we know it or not, whether we're, you know, it's okay if you don't want to know it, but your very cells are crying out for this.
Yes.
We might think of it as crying out for our children or our mom,
sure,
or our neighbors.
It has a face on it, yeah.
It has a face on it. Or the suffering of the moment that we're in. And we're crying out in that suffering.
Yeah.
But we have this verse that the Holy Spirit knows how to get into those cries and cry up what the Father wants to hear. What does the Father want to hear? He's all about life. He's all about, as my son would say it, he's all about life-saving business. He's in the life-saving business, Mom.
I love it.
The whole, all of that is geared towards life-saving. What do I mean by that? Before he created anything, we know this, read John 1:1, mm-hmm. that Jesus was with him.
Yeah.
And he saw that he could go this way because there was going to be an event that was going to allow for saving of lives.
Mm-hmm.
This powerful blood of Jesus that we know hardly anything. We know like, I don't even know how to describe it, like this sliver of truth of what that blood does for us. But it is all about life saving.
Yes.
So, man, I just took off there.
I love it.
So, oh, that's yes. Great. This dude that said this to you, to call everybody. So, to pray for the world. Well, you are. Mm. You guys are. It's just very, everything focuses in on that for me.
Sure.
But we all are. This is not too big for us.
If everyone prays for who they're called to pray for, then the whole world is covered.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you don't know, then you can pray for the world generally.
You know what? I like this. Daniel Jones, Pastor Daniel Jones from down in Indianapolis, said a really cool thing that I think helps focus people in prayer. Because one of the things that I've learned... Well, first, okay, there's a couple thoughts going through my mind. First of all, back to what you said about the Holy Spirit praying through tears.
Yeah.
I would say one of the most anointed prayers that I heard before coming here to Parker was a young lady who, a college student who was in my basement. We were having a worship night, prayer and worship. And at one point in time, it just, the only thing coming out of her were tears. She was, I wouldn't say that she was wailing, but she was weeping. And I knew that it was intercession. It was intercession for the immediate community, for drug addiction to be broken, for single moms. I mean, I could, for whatever reason, the Lord allowed me to understand, give me insight into what that prayer was. And well, I know what the reason was. It's because I wanted the rest of the room to join in with that prayer. And so I said, guys, this is what she's interceding for now. Let's go after this with your own words. So there's my experience with what you said. One example of that. So the other thing, Pastor Daniel had shared, one of the ways that he prays, and I really love this, is every day he prays for anybody who has a birthday on that day.
Sure. Yes.
And he said, so he knows, now, and he got more specific. He says he prays for anybody who doesn't know the Lord, and then maybe whoever is going to die that day. Like he breaks it down and he's a little bit more specific. But that way, at the end of 365 days, you've literally prayed for every single person on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's cool. Now, this is the other connection that I have made. And one thing I've learned about prayer is that, and this is something that Aaron teaches often, is the importance of looking out. So in that suffering that you mentioned... we can spend time praying for ourselves, but most now, and there might be time that you need to do that, But most likely, in that suffering, when you turn your gaze outward in your intercession, that's when the relief will come. Mm-hmm. That's when the breakthrough will happen. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to get there sometimes because so often we are caught up in the suffering, mm-hmm. that it hurts. And so the only thing we know how to do in our human nature, human frailty, is to pray, oh, God, help me in my suffering. Help it stop, or, you know, whatever it is that we're going to pray. But the reality is, the thing that we should be praying is, well, whatever the Holy Spirit tells us. But most often it's going to be looking out.
Yeah, I think most of the time we don't really know what we're, okay, let's get something straight.
We're here for the ride, Jana. We are in your boat. You just go for it. You're in your boat.
You are. This is a boat. And there's lots. So everything I hold that I treasure is here. And it's free. Anyone can take it, but you don't have to.
Sure.
You don't have to dig through treasure chests if you don't like what the surface looks like. No worries.
You don't have to open that lid.
No. No pressure. No theology. No religiosity. Sure. I don't know if that's really a word.
Sure it is.
But this
is now.
This is just my boat, and you can get off anytime.
Sure. Yeah, you can press stop.
You can press stop. We'll pull up at a dock and you can get off at any time. So where was I going with that?
I had said something about looking out.
Okay. Yes. Suffering. I'm going to say it this way. I learned this through my life. I learned this through those who influenced me, and then through how God has worked with me in the area of suffering and prayer. And I found that most personal suffering, it was the purpose of praying for things I did not know. And I came to that where not to set in between God and me the thing that was driving me to pray, but to use the drive to pray what was on his heart, which I didn't know.
Sure.
So I took the suffering. Here's the suffering. You're not a God that wants me to suffer. Sure. You are a God that loves me and wants me to have life and life abundantly. So what do we do with this suffering? Then let's make it productive.
Sure.
This is how my brain reasons it out.
Okay. All right.
And I said, okay, then, Holy Spirit, you get within our groanings. What makes us groan is suffering. So use this. And I will cry out, you get in and you cry for what God wants.
That's good, because he knows perfectly.
He knows perfectly. And he's looking at the vastness of the earth in time, but he's also standing outside that time.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
And he is seeing from the beginning to the end,
and
the sequencing of events and obediences and lives. I am just here for a short amount of time.
Sure.
I hear this from people that they want to be used. Mm. So I guess that was use the suffering. Use it.
Yeah.
So I invited the Holy Spirit. That's on this earth and there is suffering. Use mine.
That's a really good point. I'm going to interrupt you really quickly because people praying and pleading to be used.
Yeah, you don't really have to.
And then if the Lord decides to answer it through suffering, then we're angry at God.
Yes.
But he's just answering our prayer. So it goes back to what you said about most often we don't fully understand what we're even praying.
I don't know this for sure, but as I look into the faces of people, I see suffering. I see it from almost a baby suffering. Mm. I see suffering sometimes on a baby's countenance.
Wow.
whether it's from hunger or I wonder and I ponder the purposing of that life. And if them just stepping into this earth, they're feeling the weight of their destiny. They're feeling what God wants to bring forth from that life. Sometimes I ponder that when I see suffering on a baby. And so I would pray this for that child, that it be given the tools.
That's good.
That the parents, whether they're aware or not, that they, the Holy Spirit works through the parent to give the child the tools that they and that they will come to an understanding of how to use it as they grow.
Sure.
Because each has destiny. I probably said this the first time. I'm going to say it again. Every single human on this earth, God knew them. He knew their entire lives. And I shouldn't say I know who I'm talking to because I do not. I did not walk through the Holocaust. I'm not being physically abused, emotionally abused. I didn't walk in certain areas of bondage. And I know there are people today that are walking in those areas.
Yeah.
God had a plan for your life. He has a plan for each of our lives. The enemy's sole purpose is to tear those pages to shred and his claws dip in poison.
Yes.
And if he can get through another to poison up your life, he will.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to say to anyone. Don't let the enemy do that through you. If you have a desire to ridicule, to judge, to harm, to hurt, you're allowing the enemy to use your life to dip his claws in poison and shred another life. Stop that and don't do it. You are shredding up the plans that God has for that life. So parents, just go a little bit slower. Don't knee-jerk response to stuff.
That's good.
Just be a little sweeter. And kids, God placed you. He loves you. Go a little slower in your response. Even a child of three can stop and think.
Yes.
Because I was a child of three.
Yeah.
And I remember, stop and think.
That's good.
I'll just go a little slower. We have all the time in the world. I'm quoting God. he said that to me. Jana, you have all the time in the world.
Wow.
Just go a little slower.
That's
Don't
wise
go
counsel.
So fast. If you slow down in your thinking, you'll be able to hear the Spirit. So anxiety, stress makes us speed up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's compounding.
Knee-jerk response.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go a little slower. You have all the time in the world. When God said that, when I heard him say that, I puzzled over it for a minute because I only have a little bit of a life. So what does he mean I have all the time in the world?
Sure, sure.
the one who's speaking to me holds time. He's the master timekeeper.
Sure.
And he knows that he has all the time in the world. And if I am in him, then I have all the time in the world. And I won't miss anything.
No. And now this might really mess with people's minds. This is kind of Matrix type thing that I'm about to say. But it's not beyond the realm of God's possibility to make your day longer than mine, even though we're sitting in the same room.
And I think we've experienced that.
Yes.
When you get into a flow, sometimes God will just anoint the day.
Sure.
And it's like you get 3 to 4 days in a day.
Yeah.
Whether if we could see it on video, whether we could actually see that happen. There was this fella that would say to me, Jana, I passed your house and so many hours later I pass it again. And you have, it's transformed. You decorated, that takes a week in a matter of hours. And I'm looking at him going, he's told me that 2 or 3 times. He goes, I pass your house, I come back, and what? It's like you spent a week and such so many hours.
That's amazing.
And it's this, I know, is the times he has done that, I have felt the unctioning of the Spirit.
Wow. Wait, you felt the unctioning of the Spirit in decorating?
Yes, I have. And in anything and everything.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't, the Holy Spirit, I was actually just reading this in a book that, now for most of the people probably who are listening to this podcast, or I should say most, because I don't really know who's listening. So most of the people who have been or are affiliated with Revival for Our Day, for me to say the Holy Spirit wants to be part of every single part of your day is not that big of a stretch. For somebody who is just discovering the Holy Spirit as the third member of the Trinity, and not somebody who is reserved for crazy charismatics, you know, that concept sounds really radical, that the Holy Spirit actually cares about, well, what you wear. He cares about what you eat. He cares about what you're doing with your time. Now, not to the point of legalism. No. You know, it's not to the point where it's going to put you in a box. And because we've seen that, you and I both have. The red shoes, the black shoes, the red shoes, the black shoes. I don't know. I'm just not wearing shoes today.
I'm okay with that.
You know, that's not the intended outcome.
No.
And we won't find ourselves in that position if we do what you just said about slowing down.
Right.
Now, this reminds me of something else you said to us right before we started, or said to me right before we started recording. Your precious late husband shared with you about surrender.
Yes.
Will you share that with our listeners?
Actually, what I read you, Aaron wrote.
Was that Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Aaron Dunn wrote it. My son wrote it.
Aaron.
But Rodney also
lived it.
Lived it.
Okay.
And he encouraged it. And he would preach it if you wanted to hear it.
Sure.
About surrendering.
Well,
He surrendered. In the last couple of weeks, He surrendered, and when it's, let me rephrase all that. In the last weeks of his life, there was a surrendering. So I was thinking of this when I was reading through. So what I was telling Spencer is, for the first time since 2015, I pulled off the shelf the journals that I kept during the time of the year that my husband passed. I've never read through them. And so with my husband, with Lauren Helm, with my dad and my mother, I was with all four within hours of their passing. I was with Rodney when he passed, but I was with Lauren Helm the day before he died, within hours. It was less than 12 hours later. Mm. I was with both my parents within hours of their death. With all four, but particularly my husband and Lauren Helm, because they were verbal. My dad wasn't, my mother wasn't.
Okay.
But they became sweeter. The more near to death my parents became.
Yeah.
Came to, the sweeter they became.
Wow.
With Rodney and with Lauren Helm, they were still verbal up until a certain point. There was a surrendering. I watched it. I watched in the last months of Lauren Helm's life, almost on a graph, I could see each time I was with him, a more and a more and a more surrendering. A surrendering of the press he felt to bear the vision that God gave him.
Wow.
A surrendering for it not looking like what he thought that he had given his life for.
Sure.
A surrendering and a more relaxing. I saw it in Rodney as well. And because I experienced it too, maybe in an area of heightened awareness with Lauren Helm, and the Holy Spirit's the one who did that, I recognized it more so in Rodney. But also Rodney was very articulate up until a handful of days before his death. And watching him, he would say, oh, I can lay this down. I can lay down this luggage I've been carrying.
Wow.
I can lay down all the weights. He would use terms like that.
Wow.
Oh, and what I desired with Lauren Helm and with Rodney is how would it have been if we could have lived this way all along?
Yeah.
That we could receive vision and calling and purpose and be in a constant state of surrendering it.
Always.
All along the way, not thinking that we can do anything to make it happen. Because it's, if God comes and speaks to us, I have called you to do this.
Sure.
And man, when you experience the power of God in your life, in some moments of him talking to you, revealing to you, and I mean powerful moments, you're the self in you, and I'm not talking about bad self, I'm talking about the human self of you. You're almost, your first response is, oh dear God, how am I going to do this?
Sure.
And it's okay to think that way, but guess what? You're not.
Spoiler alert. It's not on you.
And be at rest with what he tells you. He's the one who's got the plan. He's the one who's going to get you to the fullness of what he's just told you about. Sometimes I think he just wants to tell us just so that we can come along with him. Actually, well, for me, it's that, more that way.
Well, that principle is true all the way back to the garden.
Yes.
I mean, he just wants... He created humanity to have fellowship with someone.
Yes. 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 And if I have... So, okay, we're going to put a pause. So Spencer said, the end of the last one, it was Scott Depoe. My introduction to these people, Rodney got me to this church and this love. I could almost see it. I could feel it. I mean, like touch. Not emotion, but it was almost thick. The air was thick with it.
Wow.
And in the midst of it was the speaking of this vision that was driving this 300 to 700 peopled church. And it was for God working over the earth. So it felt like a hand in a glove to my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, sure. Here is people who are willing to put their life on the line, their money on the line, their strength on the line. They were willing. I mean, a group was willing to give everything. Now, I'm not talking about a missionary.
Sure. Yeah.
This is a group of 300 to 700, like 350 at times on a Wednesday night, 700 on a Sunday morning, that would show up, that came from an hour and a half away.
Wow.
3 to 4 to 5 times a week, because there was a group that was an hour and a half, and it might have been longer than that, that came for Sunday morning, Sunday night, adult choir, youth choir, prayer, special prayer time on Saturday. That was up. They were from one of the hollers of West Virginia. And I don't say that ridiculing them because guess what? My mother was from that holler.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what they call, I mean, they're literally called a holler. You know, it's like,
those are my people.
You've got your Mountaineers shirt on today. Yes, I do. You're West Virginia. She's repping. So any of our listeners here in West Virginia, Jana's got you close to her heart today.
So these people and their love for what God wanted to do on the earth, the hope, they had hope. They saw something. These old mountain men and women, coal miners, poor men. I mean, I don't know of other states, but in West Virginia, we were poor, poor people. And these people saw something. They hardly knew what they saw, but they saw something that was in the answer to their suffering prayer life.
Wow.
And that was that God had a plan for the earth. So there's this chapter, Ephesians 3, I think it is. I love the words in this chapter. Sometimes I'll just read it. I don't have it memorized. And of course, Paul wrote it. So you just have to go with the flow with Paul sometimes with his language. But he uses words in this chapter, mystery, hidden truths, hidden mysteries, only to be revealed at this time. This mystery that God had from the beginning, before he did anything. And okay, you guys, just be aware that I'm going to open up a chest here. Paul didn't have all of the mysteries revealed.
Sure.
I know you guys might want to pitch me over my own boat, but just hang on. I'm reading this. And I had to go back to it this morning because I just love his verbiage in it. And I started chuckling as I was reading it. And I thought, oh, Paul, how old were you when you wrote Ephesians and you used all these beautiful terms? And it's like reading T.S. Eliot or C.S. Lewis or, sure. Or guess what? You know, for me, it's almost like reading. I know you guys might not know this, but I know who Gene Roddenberry is.
I don't. Sorry.
Oh, you don't know Star Trek. So it's like reading some of these mysteries, but it's so beautiful. Paul is speaking out of this great work and revelation that God has given him, and it gives him understanding of what God has done from the days of Abraham on, from the writings of Moses on. It gives this glorious purposing to his life.
Yeah.
But this is where I got real tickled. I laughed. I almost belly laughed when I was reading it today because when he learned, when he got, just hold on with me. He has for 2000 years now and is continuing to learn the mysteries that he was speaking of.
Yes.
He got sight of something that has transformed this earth.
Yes.
But he was only seeing a facet.
Yeah.
Of the magnificence of the brain of God.
Yeah.
And the plan and all that God holds in his heart. And it even says that, but it says in there that God kept this as a mystery. Guess what? Who he kept it from?
Yeah.
Well, he kept it as a mystery from, it says, sovereignties and powers.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. It says, and to bring to light for everyone, what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things?
Yes.
So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places.
In heavenly places. Isn't that just, that is so magnificent to me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what got me so tickled. It's remarkable. Pretty much that verse right there. For one thing, the church has no idea. Oh, and I'll finish that sentence. It only has a facet of an idea of the magnificence of what it will be.
Yeah.
and really what it has been all along, but we haven't walked in the fullness of it. There's been smatterings, and but. So this is what happened at Scott Depot. You had these people. They had an experience of catching a glimpse of the magnificence of the Bride of Christ and all that could come forth from her that will change the earth. We the read world. About it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it says.
But they caught a glimpse of it. They caught a glimpse of it through Oliver Hoag's, what he gleaned from the life of Lauren Helm. He caught a sight.
Yes.
So why God, as God gave Paul this tremendous revelation, Paul's not the only one he's given revelation to.
Yeah.
He gave him this, he gave him revelation for, to me, this is Janice speaking, you're on my boat, for the purpose of laying a foundation for the church to be built upon.
Yes.
To be built upon the foundation. Paul laid the foundation work. The Holy Spirit through Paul laid down this magnificent foundation that we can stand solidly on in our lives.
It's true.
I gather it up sometimes. I open up the book so that I can read about the foundation, and it strengthens me.
Yes.
It makes me go a little slower.
That's good.
It makes me become a little aware in the hecticity of my day and in my life and in my hour that there is a lot more than me that's walking on this earth, if sure. I have to be reminded. And there is great purpose in every single human on this earth. So I'm going to tell you something. This is not scripture. This is not about Paul. This is apparently, I read this the other day. This happened to me. So, you know, I just said, Paul's not the only one that has revelation. Paul's revelation was for the purpose and destiny to give us a solid foundation.
Yes.
And to birth the church. The, you know, the Bible's like our cradle. Yeah. That the church was birthed in and put in. I saw, this is a mystery to me, but it's beautiful to me. I saw God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's my vision. It's how the Holy Spirit wanted to unroll it in front of me. I saw them standing on the cusp of time. They were overlooking time, and God wanted an event, and he stretched out time to include that event.
Wow.
And because time was stretched to include that event, it filled in with humanity. Hmm. Now, humanity already was. I could see that the garden had already been. I could see that the cross had already been. And I don't know what cusp of time they were standing on. And I saw him desire this event. And all of them agreed to stretch it out to include an event. And humanity filled in.
Wow.
Filled it in. So if you look at the graph of the census of the world, the graph will go along a line that's almost imperceptible coming up, getting larger, until about 200 years ago. And then it starts on a trajectory, almost like a
rocket
going up. And it hasn't stopped.
Wow.
I am okay with what God showed me. I love when I run across it, I love to think about it for a minute.
So what was the event, something?
I don't know what the specific event is.
Okay, you know, it was just an event. He didn't show you what it was.
It was an event. He desired an event. I would say, because in the way that I know him, it's all about life saving.
Yeah.
It's all about humanity becoming what Paul put the foundation for.
Yes.
And it's for the church to become whom she is for the earth.
Yes.
So I would say it's all about that. And I'm okay. I've told him this many times. I don't have to know. I just love that he shows me stuff.
Oh, sure.
I don't have to figure it out even. Well,
that's why he continues to show you stuff.
I will embrace. If he wants to come and show me, yes. And I will hold it and I will enjoy it and I will bring it out. And I have found if I'm willing just to hold it, even the weight of it, in time, he might show me a little more about it.
Sure.
There is great mercy in what he showed me. There is great mercy in that the human explosion, yeah, of the senses, the numbers of humanity on the earth. He has told me this. 2012, he told me this, that it is his grace and his mercy that he held the numbers of humanity on the earth until now. It was his grace and his mercy that, wow, he held it. I believe what he tells me, that it's his grace and his mercy. And then that was in 2012. Well, in 2020, he shows me he stood on the cusp of time, and he increased time for this one event. And it filled in with humanity. Well, he's already told me in 2012 that our the number of humans on the earth and how it has grown since humanity has. It is his grace and his mercy. So I know there's grace and mercy.
Yes.
In the number of people on this earth today. This is a weighty thing.
Yes.
For me. But he grew me up to my bones to bear the weight. Mm. I say that, and it is, and you might think a certain way, and it's okay. It's how God grew my brain up even to hold things.
Well, I hear you say that, and I just think a couple things. This would be my response. First of all, that none of that scares me. I enjoy riding in your boat, and I will take as many rides in your boat as you are willing to offer. Because your perspective on time and eternity is valuable and rare in the earth. And so I appreciate sitting at your feet and learning. But the other response to that would be, now this is our frame of reference. You know, there are 8 billion people on the face of the planet.
Yes.
And we know but a drop in the bucket of those people.
Yes.
But one of them we know was shown a Holy Ghost outpouring on the world.
Yes.
And that, as far as I can tell, we have yet to see.
Right.
We also believe that awakening is here, but we have yet to see this great Holy Ghost outpouring on the globe. And if God showed that to somebody, then for the sake of his own name, it will happen.
Yeah, well, he talks about it in Scripture.
That too.
Yeah, and Isaiah talks about it too. There's a pouring out. You Google it. Google's my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Google pouring out of my spirit.
Well, you've got just Acts and Joel both.
And
sure.
Then there are other Scriptures. So here's, don't be anxious or fretful or fear. God created us, and God created because, so I don't know if I said this, I'm going to tell you this one too. And if you saw this treasure chest on my boat open the last time, then it's going to get opened again.
All right.
My son, growing up, one of his daily rituals pretty much was to come in and lay at the foot of my bed and say, "Mom, let me tell you about my day." Cause I would make a nest and I'd have, you know, all my books or whatever I wanted around me. And it was the joy of my evening is to sit there and read. And he would come and lay at the end of the bed and he would tell me about his day. And then he would say, "Well, what do you think about that?" If he had a question. And my response, he would tell me years later, was typically, "Well, I had a vision about that. I had a dream about that." And then I would expound. Well, one day he's talking about sin and the world. And the one question that pierced through my fog, he said, "Mom, why did God create when he knew all this suffering was going to happen?"
Yeah.
And when he said that, his word shot like an arrow inside of me, formed a key, and opened up a door.
Wow.
And behind that door was an experience that I had had that I had kept closed up because it was one of the most treasured of any experience I have ever had. So I said, "Aaron, God showed me why. From my perspective, he showed me. This is me speaking. He might show you another. But I ask him, the question I ask him was, what were you like before anything was?" Because when you created, that changed everything.
Yeah.
So yeah. What were you like? What did you look like? And how were you? And I just would like to see how you were before you said, "Let there be." And I was immediately taken. It seemed to me like time and earth dissipated. And I was standing looking up at this young man. And Aaron, when I said this, Aaron goes, "Mom, I didn't know God aged." And I said, "Well, Aaron, God shows us things for understanding, for the purpose of us understanding."
Sure. Yeah.
So for the purpose of me understanding what he was going to show me, he showed me himself as being young. As I stood there and just he was tall, beautiful young man. And it seemed to me that he was unaware that I was standing there. And the longer I stood there, the more I saw that he was in deep contemplation within himself.
Wow.
And as I drew nearer, looking at him, watching this happen, I began to see what he was seeing.
Okay.
And the first thing that he was thinking of was this brilliant bursting of light. And figures began to form in it. And I thought, "Oh my goodness, he's thinking about creating angels."
Wow.
That was my first thought.
Okay, all right.
His mind works in a supersonic speed. So by the time my mind could catch that and process what I was seeing, he was well on to the next thought.
Wow.
And so when I finally caught up to that thought, he was thinking he hadn't created anything. And he was thinking of creating the universe. And the joy and the thrill that was in him when, with a wave of a hand in his thinking, he was not moving. He had done nothing. The universes were exploding. Solar systems were exploding wow. around him. And the differences and the color and the... It was like watching... fireworks exploding everywhere. They weren't too much for him. He was enjoying every color, every differences, every anything. If you're if you know about space, any word, any term you can come up with that describes anything was exploding around him, and he was enjoying it. And I think that's why I could catch up, because he wow. got caught in the enjoyment of the thought of creating this, of solar systems, of the entire universe.
Wow.
And then I saw his thought begin to narrow and narrow and narrow and narrow. And I recognized where he was going. And I thought, oh, do I want to go this way with him? And I thought, yeah, I really want to see what happens when he creates Adam. I kind of really would like to see his thought of it. And so I saw him, the thought, it was only thought of him, the earth, and then the let there be's, and then the forming of Adam. And when he breathed life into the form of Adam, the ecstasy that hit him, I thought my brain was going to, the emotion of it was so great, I thought my brain was going to come out my eardrums.
Wow.
And I wondered, could I bear this? Could a human person bear this? And again, his mind goes lightning fast. So he was from that thought. And then I saw Eve and I saw her hand start to raise. And I thought, oh, dear God, I thought inside myself, oh, dear God, I do not think I can bear this with you. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, but how could I leave him yeah. when for the first time in a pure, this being who is solely pure, that he knows nothing but purity. He knows nothing but holiness. He knows no such thing as sin. He has no concept of it. When her hand goes up and she grips that, and for the first time in his eternalness, he comes slapping into hell.
Wow.
Oh, how could I? But I knew it would take my life. Because if ecstasy would almost take my life,
wow.
the horror of sin would take my life.
Yeah.
And I thought, then I will die because I cannot leave him to face this. This was all vision, all dream. This was only thought.
Wow.
And I saw her hand reach up and take. And when she did that, the horror of hell slammed him. And I watched him watch soul after soul after soul after soul coming forth from Adam and Eve. I saw Cain and Abel and Seth. And I saw him write the word Seth. I saw him write down the word. I saw him take a pen and write the word Seth on a paper. And when he wrote the word, the name Seth, at the beginning of when he put whatever the writing implement he had in his hand, when he put it to paper, and by the time he finished writing the name, he had walked the entirety of Seth's life. He had walked every day.
Wow.
Every moment. He had walked the height and the breadth and the length and the width of every aspect of Seth's life.
Wow.
And he did that to every single soul that ever came into being before anything was ever created, he walked every single life. There were lives that I saw him walk that by the time he finished writing the name, he looked haggard. Every single life he walked, he wept with tears in his mind because he had done nothing. He wept, will they love me if I choose to go this way? Will they love me if I choose to go this way? But he gave his heart to everyone. Everyone that came into being from Adam and Eve, from what came out of them, with every single soul, he gave his heart. Yeah. He loved them. He could not bear to go in his eternity without them. So before he did anything, before he did anything, this is my dream, my vision, my facet of understanding what I saw. He reached inside of himself and he, with one hand, he brought forth his son, and with his other hand, he brought forth his spirit. And his son turned to him and said, I will make the way for you.
Wow.
And his spirit turned and said, I am willing to be poured out for you.
Wow.
And he began. We are not here lightly.
No.
God knew your life. Those who are being hurt and abused, he knew your life. Those who walked through the Holocaust, he knew your life before he began, before he created one angel. He knew your life. There's not one life lived on this earth that he has not walked it before he created anything. I'm not telling you pie in the sky. Paul had that revelation and so did Peter.
Yeah.
Long, long before anything was.
Yes.
God knew you. They both had it. They didn't. God probably, I don't know this, but I don't know that he showed them the way he showed it to me. But he showed me something that was so powerful to me. The thing that, in speaking, we're back on the bed with my son now, and his words released this, and I was able to speak it to him out loud for the first time. I don't know what year it was. I would say he was still in high school, because he did this in grade school and in high school, and he did it off and on even in college, the laying at the end of my bed and telling me about his day. Mm-hmm. It was this wonderful, sweet moment. And he didn't do it every day. I guess just when he felt pulled to do it, or when something would happen that he would want to relate. But this time, this treasure, this most sacred experience. So here we are. Be at rest. Where you're at in your walk with God, be at rest. He loves you. So here's a little thing. Dr. Carver said these words. I'm not going to quote. I'm going to paraphrase. If you love something well enough, it will reveal itself to you. He said it in a like three sentences, I'm saying it in one. If you love something well enough, it will reveal itself to you. I heard that the first time in Africa. Mrs. Kelly was reading to the missionary kids. She was our teacher. So I was 7, 8, or 9. She was reading us about children who knew God, who God worked with. And she read the story of George Washington Carver in a tree, and the birds would speak to him. Farmers would bring him their livestock or their crops, and he would be able to tell them, this is what's wrong, this is what you need to do.
Really?
And yes, and there were pictures in this book. Oh, so this little black boy was sitting in a tree, and there was this bird, and the bird was speaking to him. This story affected me, and I believed every word of it. I believed that Dr. George Washington Carver, or at the time he was just George Washington Carver, could talk to the animals. I believed that, utterly believed that,
yeah,
at 8. And that what I loved would reveal itself to me.
Yes.
And I love God. And I love his son. And I love his spirit. And I tell him this, I love you. And I want you to draw nigh. And you say that if I draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to me. And so I want that.
Yes.
I want you to talk with me and to walk with me. I want you to share your lives with me. I will. You already know all about mine. I will share my life with you. I mean, like, deliberately. I'll share my life with you deliberately, on purpose. And I want you to share yours with me on purpose.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this. If you want to walk with God, walk with God. If you want him to talk with you, talk with him. Love him. There's a reason why you are. That's for everybody. Over the earth, God loves you. We really have no idea what Jesus did on this earth. We have just a thumbnail of purpose, that he would come and die in this mysterious, magnificent way in which he did. So why? So God could have us. So God could have us.
Yes.
Not, okay, hold on, you're on my boat, right? Not necessarily for you to have him. So just hang on. Remember how this all started, because God saw you and yes, he fell in love with you.
Yes.
And he couldn't bear to continue without you.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I will die so you, God, can have them. And so they can have you. All of us, whether we know it or not, want to be loved supremely.
Yes.
All of us do.
Yeah.
We're driven. Children want their parents to love them supremely. You do it by giving them tools. That's one way. Mm-hmm. Tools to help them learn to control their impulses. Tools to help them have boundaries and make right choices. You as parents, that's part of you loving your child supremely. Yeah. It's not giving them all that they want. That would be silly. Yeah. But to give them tools to live, that is being loving. That is loving your children supremely, not being harsh and causing them pain. To love them supremely, give them tools.
Yes.
To live good. Husbands and wives, both of you want to be loved supremely. you both want to be adored. Love each other. You know, this is a puzzle, but God made us this way. You marry when you're young and you grow up with each other.
Yeah.
And you're constantly learning and changing.
Absolutely.
Because you're growing up.
Yeah.
Allow each other. Love each other. Be willing to change with each other and be to determine to give each other tools to become and to be.
Yes.
Make way for each other. Let each other fail and love each other.
Yes.
If you're irritable and tired and you snap, love each other. Recognize the irritable and the snap. Christ died so that blood can cover. Parents cover. Love covers. Yeah. Love each other. Preachers, love your people. Allow God to work with them, to change them, because you know what? He's wanting to work with you and change you.
Amen.
So that is for all humanity. There you go. Now, you all who are in the church, you have an assignment because you are going to become the bride of Revelation. It's a given. You can be a part of it or not. This generation can be the bride that stands and clothes herself and stands shoulder to shoulder with the Spirit of God. Read Revelations, the last few verses. It's scripture. At some point, there is a generation of people that is going to become this one. You and I, this is what I think. I don't know. This is just what I think. You're on my boat. And every generation, God longs for this. He hopes for this. He has designed you to have the choice to become this. There's a verse, I don't know where it is. Oh, I wish I did for this second so I could say to you, book, chapter, verse, that there is a plan of God that goes forth that from age to age, maybe if you Google age to age, you'll find it. His plan goes from age to age and it never is stopped. It will never be stopped. His plan, God's plan, it goes through age to through age, ages of man, through age to age, something like that. And it is never stopped. There will be an age. We have this opportunity in this age to be the bride of Revelation. I am most believing in this because of the population of the earth. Because I am. That's just because I am. And because I want to see it happen. And because I believe that what John the Revelator wrote, that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You have this opportunity to be the bride of Revelation.
Yes.
I shared this on a Wednesday night service recently because that morning or the day before, God said, go to this, review this. And I saw the journal. I saw it on my shelf and I went and grabbed it. And I entered into this vision of God. I was standing behind him and on his right hand, he had the first age of man and on his left hand, he had the last age of man and he held them. Every age was the same size, which interests me. Every age every age of man, because I really don't know the length of the age of man, but he had them from right to left. And there was a war going on in the present age, which, by the way, was nearing his left hand. Okay. Mm. And so this is why the age is here, or it's coming soon.
Yes.
There is this horror battle. What is the battle? It is the devil trying to rip to shreds the plan of God. But that verse is written in black and white in scripture, that there is this plan that goes from age to age that is never stopped. Okay. The second part of that is that in every age, there are those who can, if they want, stand with God as he is holding the ages of man. And when you do, the closer you come to standing with him, the closer you draw nigh or near to the hot fires of that battle, where if you're standing shoulder to shoulder with God, you will feel the flames of it licking up your legs. Will you stand? And he said to me, there are times in an age of man that only one or two, if even that, stand with me. I was shocked. And out of my mouth flew these words. Show me that age. Show me an age where there was only one or two, if even that. And he immediately showed me Noah.
You're okay.
It's fine. Sorry. I was horrified, but understood the truth of what he was saying.
Sure.
Within the age of man, there are fewer still that there are those who will come and stand, but there are few that come and stand and stay. Many or some come and stand for a time and step away. May God help you, church, to come forward and to stand with him and to stay and not step back. We started out with the word surrender. So how do you stand beside of God? Most always, it's in the area of surrendering. Surrender your day. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, surrender your day. Surrender your suffering. Believe him. Surrender your unbelief. Trust him. Surrender your untrustfulness, your untrustedness, the inability to trust. Surrender it to him. Stand with him and surrender. Surrender not being loved. Surrender not being used. Surrender not being known. Surrender the suffering of your life. Surrender it to him and stand and be willing to stay. To stay and not be used. To stay and simply be quiet. To stay and simply praise for days and days and days and days and days and days and days. To just stay. This is the God who could not bear his eternity without you. Step up and stay. By the way, it will cost you everything. But you will find in surrendering that you had all everything within you all along. You had all that you have need of within you. Surrender. This is an enigma and a mystery and a marvel. So, world, God loves you. Church, you have a mission. You want purpose in your life? God has called you to stand with him and to stay with him and to bear with him the world. So, I think that's it.
That is, oh, wow. I would say that is enough. That was remarkable. Thank you for sharing everything that you did. I know that there's a vulnerability there that is required, and we appreciate it. I think the verse, I tried to find it. I want to know if this is the one that you're thinking. Psalm 33:11. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever.
Yes.
The purposes of his heart through all generations.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
And that's NIV. Yes, I was trying to find the one that sounded most like the one that you had said. ESV says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations.
That's good enough.
So, well, Jana, thank you. Thank you for everything you have poured out. I'm going to close us in prayer. I usually have my guests close us, but I sense that what you have shared has already been a petition. It's been instruction and it's been a prayer. So, Father, I'm going to turn to you now and just ask that you would help those who are listening to, Lord, I'm going to echo the words of your scripture. Lord, give them ears to hear. Give me ears to hear this that Jana has so willingly shared with us and poured her heart out. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, that we would surrender our unbelief, and that we will walk in the fullness of the things that you have planned us to accomplish on this earth. Lord, that's what we want more than anything. More than anything, we want to walk in the fullness of what you have called us to. And so we pray these things in the name that is above the names, the name in this vision that said, I will go before you and make the way, the name of Jesus. We say amen. Well, listeners, I want to thank you again for coming along for this ride, you know, in the Jana Dunn boat. It was a good ride today. And, you know, maybe in a couple months we'll get her back for another one. She is a deep well. And any time spent with Jana is never wasted. So thanks again so much for sitting down with us for these Revival Chats.